For the last several weeks, we've been traveling through the book of Luke. And one thing sticks out to me about Luke, and that is this. He doesn't seem to like rich people very much. The way he tells his stories, the rich, they don't come off so great, do they? His characters who are wealthy, they seem cold, heartless, cruel, selfish people, less likely to enter heaven than everyone else. Exhibit A, only Luke tells the story about the wealthy fellow who isn't doing anything consciously bad or incorrect. He just happens to not see poor Lazarus beyond his gate. And for that, for his ignorance, he finds himself in hell. Exhibit B. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor." But Luke adds, "And woe to the rich." So we come to today's story about a rich man named Zacchaeus. And because this is Luke, we think we know where this is headed. We think Luke is going to let him have it. But surprisingly, Luke doesn't do that. Zacchaeus, we are told, is a tax collector. And not just any tax collector, mind you. He is the chief tax collector. Now, we need to understand exactly what that means. Tax collectors in Jesus' time weren't like today's IRS workers. Yes, people hate the IRS today, but you really hated tax collectors in the ancient world. Believe me when I tell you that you'd love the IRS today compared to the tax collectors of yesterday. 2 weeks ago, when we were studying the story about the Pharisee and the tax collector, I told you about how the Roman Empire collected taxes. I'll recap that very briefly for the sake of our story today. Rome would say, for instance, we need $10 million from the Tuckahoe region of Henrico County. Rome didn't care how they got those funds, just that whoever their tax collector was, just that he got them. What's more, any excess beyond that $10 million, well, that was the tax collectors to keep. It's not hard to see how the system sets up corruption, right? The tax collector would often scam widows, the poor, the powerless, just to make their quota. But the icing on top of this corrupt cake is that Rome would not hire Roman citizens to collect their taxes. No, they would select a local person, someone from our neighborhood who was in cahoots with Rome to collect these taxes. So not only were you getting fleeced by the empire, you were being conned by your neighbor. That's who Zacchaeus was. In fact, he was the chief tax collector. By all accounts, he was pretty good at his job. So despite how he feels about other rich folk, Luke doesn't seem to vilify Zacchaeus. Other than, there is one dig that Luke gets in at Zacchaeus, and that is that he tells us that he's short, ridiculously short. Like teasing him short. What did we sing in Bible school? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Sort of a cruel song to sing, isn't it? And what do? We teach it to children. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town, and a crowd had already begun to assemble along the roadside. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he wondered how he was going to catch a glimpse of this man. A man of his small stature could easily get lost in the crowd, so what does Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus is so eager to see Jesus that he climbs up a sycamore tree, just like a little kid would do. Can you picture the scene? Crowd gathered, all abuzz, and here is this little man climbing a tree to see the guest of honor. It would make a great movie, and if Hollywood cast this role, I do believe the role of Zacchaeus would go to someone like Danny DeVito. Can you see it? Anyway, Jesus is coming down the road and he spots Zacchaeus up in that tree. He yells for him, "Hey! Hey there, Zac! Come on down! Get down from that tree! I'm going to your house today." So that's what Zacchaeus does. He hurries down the tree and off they go, side by side, the con man and the Christ, walking home to supper. At some point in the story, I don't know if it's on the way home or if it's during supper itself, Luke isn't really clear, but at some point Zacchaeus's heart is changed. He commits himself to being a different person, and he makes a two-pronged pledge. He will give half of his money to the poor and return any stolen funds four times over. Don't let that little detail skip you by. See, Jewish law required restitution of the money plus 20%. If my math is correct, Zacchaeus seems to think 400% is more appropriate. Yes, his heart was changed. When he sees all this, Jesus is amazed and he marvels, "Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house." How? How has salvation come, I want to know? Because Zacchaeus changed his ways? Because he was generous to those whom he had fleeced? That's a common interpretation. Zacchaeus finally got right with God and his neighbors, and then salvation was his reward. Now, y'all know me by now, and you know that I am skeptical of such interpretations. So I don't buy it. See, as far as I understand it, salvation isn't something we can buy or earn ourselves. We don't earn salvation by giving back to anybody that we've wronged. Yes, it's important to keep the commandments. Yes, it's important to live righteous lives. Yes, it's important to be generous with the poor. Yes, it's important to change and ask forgiveness when we wrong our neighbors. But salvation isn't a reward for doing that. It's just the right thing to do. Because above all else, salvation is a gift. Pure and simple, it is a gift by grace. So the way I read this story, salvation doesn't come to Zacchaeus after he makes restitution. Salvation comes to Zacchaeus the minute Jesus calls his name. and he scampers down that tree. Reminds me of that old hymn, "Just As I Am." We are saved by God's grace not when we get our life in order, but when we come to the Lamb of God just as we are. I think salvation comes to Zacchaeus, and because of that, his heart changes. His behavior changes. He begins to reorder his priorities. He begins to see that generosity to others is better than greed for himself. He goes from being self-centered and selfish to being selfless and sacrificial. Why? Because Christ welcomed him. What's more, nothing in Luke's story tells me that what Zacchaeus did in response to God's grace, his pledge to make restitution, that is, nothing tells me that he does that out of guilt. Luke seems to indicate that his new found generosity is because of the salvation that is offered to him. It's because he has been welcomed by grace. And now that Christ has opened his heart and opened his hands, he can receive that salvation. I'm sure I've told you this story before because it's one of my favorites. So bear with me as I tell you again. Tom Long is a preaching professor, and he tells about a student of his who went for a walk with his dad at a downtown park. At the halfway point in their walk, this was before cell phones, mind you, they decided to stop by a payphone. Teenagers, if you don't know what a payphone is, talk to somebody whose hair is grayer than yours. They stopped by payphone halfway through their walk to call for a pizza, which would arrive at home by the time they get there. As they head for a payphone that they spot, a homeless man approaches them asking for spare change. The student's father reached into his pockets and pulled out two handfuls of change. "Here," he says to the homeless man, "take whatever you need." The homeless man, hardly believing his new good fortune, he says, "Well, I'll take it all." And he reaches into the father's hands and takes both handfuls of coins, and he's on his way. Now, the only problem with this is the father now had no coins to make that phone call. So he says, "Wait a minute, sir. I need to make a phone call. Can you spare some change?" The homeless man turns right around, holds out two handfuls of coins and says, "Here, take whatever you need." My friends, when we realize how gracious God has been to us, we can't help but be gracious to others in return. Zacchaeus opens his hands and releases all that he has taken from others so that he can receive what Christ wants to give him. And what Christ wants to give him is something that can never be taken from him. And it's all by grace. See, friends, I think we sell ourselves short and we sell the Bible short if we relegate this to simply a vacation Bible school story. Yes, this is important for us to teach to our children. It's important for us to hear as well. The Zacchaeus story is a powerful story of change. Found only in Luke, this story turns out to be a picture of the entire mission of Jesus. Received by the outcast, condemned by the authorities, offering grace to those who don't deserve it. It all starts with a short man up a tree. And it ends with one of the biggest hearts Jesus encounters in all of Israel. My friend, Dr. Bill Tuck, and I have something in common. We both consider one of the finest theologians to have lived to be the late, great Charles Schulz, creator of the comic strip Peanuts. One of my favorite Peanuts comic strips came out around this time of year many years ago, just before Thanksgiving. Lucy is feeling sorry for herself. "My life is a drag," she says. "I'm completely fed up. I've never felt so low in my life." Her little brother Linus tries to console her, and he says, "Lucy, when you're in a mood like this, you should try to think of things you're thankful for. You know, count your blessings." "Ha," Lucy says, "I could count my blessings on one finger. I've never had anything and I never will. I don't get half the breaks other people do. Nothing ever goes right for me. What do I have to be thankful for?" In the last frame of the comic, we see Linus with a tear in his eye. He says, "Well, for one thing, you have a little brother who loves you." As my father would say, that'll preach. My dear friends, I love you. God loves you. And like Zacchaeus, God sees you. Maybe you're here today and you feel just a little bit disconnected, up a tree, so to speak. I don't mean to dismiss what you're feeling, but let me assure you of this. Try as I might, I may not see you. Your Sunday school friends, they may not see what you're going through. The people around you in this sanctuary, even though we love you, we may not see all you're dealing with in life. But Jesus sees you. You may feel like you're lost in the crowd, but Jesus has a knack of always finding us. He always does. Listen to me, please. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your name, and he's calling out to you, and he wants to invite you home. Not someday in the future, when you get your life all sorted out. But right now, today, just as you are. Maybe today is the day to come home, just as you are. Amen.